Good morning, everyone. Feel free to join us at the table. Good morning, everyone. We first of all want to wish everyone a Mazel Tov on completing Maseches Beitza. We had a very beautiful Siyum in the Shul yesterday. And a Mazel Tov to everyone in the Siyum. The celebration continues, I think, this evening at the National Siyum, which we're very excited about. And that also gives us the opportunity to move on to the next Masechta, to start Maseches Rosh Hashanah. And that's where we're going to begin this morning. It's very apropos to start Maseches Rosh Hashanah for those of us who are joining now for the first time, because Rosh Hashanah is all about Hischadshus, it's all about renewal. The fact that Rosh Hashanah, as we're going to learn in the Mishnah, can happen at multiple points in the year with respect to different aspects of life. I always felt that that message of this opening Mishnah, that Arba Rosh Hashanah may, that we tend to think, no milk please, that we tend to think that Rosh Hashanah is only something that happens once a year, but that there's never another opportunity to sort of, and you got to wait till your Elul and your Rosh Hashanah experience. There are many times a year where you could start fresh, you could start new. So this, for the Daf HaShavua, this is a Rosh Hashanah. This is an opportunity to start something new and to be able to complete Maseches Rosh Hashanah together, Be'ezus Hashem, which we're very much looking forward to. Okay, so let's begin. Here we go. Arba Rosh Hashanim Heim. So the Mishnah tells us there are indeed four different points in the year that are designated as a Rosh Hashanah, as the beginning of a year, as the commencement of some sort of period of time that is significant in some sort of halachic way. So the Mishnah says, Be'echad B'Nisan, on the first day of Nisan, Rosh Hashanah Lemelachim. That is the Rosh Hashanah with respect to kings, says Rashi. Regilim hayu limnos zman shtaroseyem lishnos hamelech. That when people would write shtaros, when people would write documents to effectuate transactions, they would do so. The documents required a date. And we're going to see soon why that date is in fact so important. The documents required a date. That date needed to designate a year. So when, what year would we use? Would we use 2017? Would we use 5777? What year would we use? So the year that we would use is the year of the kingship in the particular country we're in, right? Many are counting the days of the kingship we're currently in this country, right? Very concerned. What year are we up to? What month are we up to? What date are we up to, right? Many are definitely in it. But they used to count the years of the Melech. And they used to use the Melech that had dominion over the Jewish people at that time. And that was a form of Shalom, Yishum Shalom Malchus, that showed that we weren't just a society that was completely separate from the culture around us, but that certainly in the area of economic development, that we had a certain sense of appreciation for the role of our host government, and that was an important element to acknowledge in our economic lives. So we're going to see the Chachamim, we did not follow the year as established by that particular king, but rather we created our own almost artificial cutoff or a superimposed cutoff that the year begins at Echad B'Nisan. And we'll see why that's so important. And with respect to regalim, and the Gemara is going to explain why it's important to understand what the order of the regalim are relative to each other. The Echad B'Elul, so that's Echad B'Nisan. The Echad B'Elul, on the first day of Elul, Rosh Hashanah L'Maiser Behema. So if you are somebody that is raising animals, then when you have a certain collection of animals, certain amount of animals, you have to contribute what's called Maiser Behema, which is a tenth. And the way it would work is you'd gather all the animals together, and you would pass them through this is the imagery that is actually depicted in our Rosh Hashanah davening, right? Kibakoras roa edro mavirtsono tachas shivto, right? That you would gather all the animals together, and single file, one after the other, you'd count them off, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and then the 10th you'd be makdish, and that would be the Maiser Behema. So in order to know what is considered the fiscal year, basically, with respect to Maiser Behema, so the cutoff of the fiscal year is Rosh Chodesh Elul, right? Anybody who's ever dealt with a budget before knows that you have to have some sort of cutoff point, at which point the expenses are, right? So you pay taxes on everything you earn in the year 2016, hopefully, right? So, and then what happens with money you earn in 2017? So that's already taxes, that's already for the next year. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon, Omrim, Be'echad B'Tishrei. They say, no, there's an Echad B'Tishrei. Okay, and we'll understand in the Gemara what that machlokas is about. Be'echad B'Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah L'Shanim. This is the one that we're probably most familiar with. That on Echad B'Tishrei, that is considered Rosh Hashanah with respect to counting years. That's what will give us the new year. Vila Shmitin, Vila Yovlos. And that's also considered Rosh Hashanah with respect to when is it that the year of Shemitah commences, that we're no longer permitted to go ahead and work the land, that Shemitah's Ksafim, all the different elements of Shemitah. When does that begin? That begins on Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. Vila Yovlos, as well as the calculation of Yovlos, every seven Shemitahs is a year of Yovel. Linitia, as well as for the fiscal year of calculating your Chumos and Maestro, Linitia refers to, let's look at Rashi for a moment, Leminyan Shnei Arla, right? We all know that the first 3 years of a tree's life, you are not supposed to cut the tree, right? You're not supposed to eat from the tree. You're not supposed to eat from the tree. Sorry, not cut the tree. You're not supposed to eat from the tree. That's called Orla, right? Then there's Ravai, and then things become Mutter. So when do you calculate those 3 years, right? You put the seed in the ground, and then a number of months later, something starts growing, and then it becomes more of a tree, and then, when do you start? So the Mishnah says there's a cutoff. The cutoff is Echad B'Tishrei. That's the first year. So that would mean that if, let's say, the tree started to grow in Nisan, Tishrei would be the end of year one, and then the next Tishrei would be year two, and the next Tishrei would be year three. Liarakos. And this is the one that refers to Meiser for vegetables. Says Rashi, Lemeiser Yerek, Shein Tarminu Masun Min Anilka Lifnei Rosh Hashana Al She'achar Rosh Hashana. Again, that's the fiscal year. You can't take Meiser on produce that you are harvesting after Rosh Hashanah, on produce from before Rosh Hashanah. And obviously it's relevant when different things become Chayiv in Shumos and Meiser, so we'll get into that. Vilu Yerakos. So Be'echad B'Shvat. So that is considered, Vilu Yerakos, period. Be'echad B'Shvat, on the first day of Shvat, Rosh Hashanah Le'ilon, right? Rosh Chodesh Shvat is Rosh Hashanah for Peros Ha'ilon, also for the respect to Meiser, that when is considered Meiser for the Peros Ha'ilon. And Peros Ha'ilon have a different time that they become Chayiv in Maestros, that then that threshold would conclude year number one, then does vegetables, and we'll get into that. Kedivrei Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel Omrim, Beis Hillel says, and this is what we're more familiar with, B'chamisha Asar Bo, on the Chamisha Asar of Shvat, on what we call Tu B'Shvat, that is considered the Rosh Hashanah La'ilanot, as it says in the Mishnah and the song. Says the Gemara, Limelachim. So the Gemara says, and the Mishnah said, that Arba Rosh Hashanim Heim, Be'echad Benisan, Rosh Hashanah Limelachim. The first one mentioned is the Rosh Hashanah for Milachim. So the Gemara says, Lamai Hilchasa. What do I care when, how you calculate, how many years King George has been alive, you know, and in reign, how many years, what's the Malucha of Queen Elizabeth and Queen Victoria? What do I care, right? So says the Gemara, no, it matters a lot. Amar Rav Chizda, says Rav Chizda, L'shtaros. It matters for the specific perspective of shtaros. Says Rashi, what is the issue of shtaros? L'havchin eze shtarchov muktam l'malva ve'eze me'uchar. To try to determine when a shtar is predated and when a shtar is postdated. Ditnan, because we learned in the Mishnah, shtarechov hamukdamin psulin v'amu'achrim ksherin. That shtaros that are predated are pasul. Shtaros that are post-dated are kosher. What's a predated and post-dated shtar? So it's very simple. Let's say I'm going to lend Moshe Palmer money, or more likely, Moshe Palmer is going to lend me money, right? So let's say Moshe Palmer is going to lend me money. He's the malve, I'm the love, right? He's the lender, and I am the borrower. So I'm going to borrow money from him. So in order to do that, so I collect $100 and we write a shtar. And that shtar requires a date. Why does that shtar require a date? Because Moshe, who's the lender, he lends me money. Now I owe him money. So I owe him $100. And comes time of collection, and I'm not coughing up the $100, and I claim to him, I don't have $100. I spent my $100. I sponsored the Daf HaShavua Kiddush. No more $100. So Moshe says to me, well, you got to come up with $100. So I say, no, I don't have $100. Turns out that during the period of this loan, I went ahead and I had very chash of a property, right? Everybody knows, property in Passaic, unbelievable, right? So I had very chash of a property. I took that property and I sold it to Yitz Weiss, right? In exchange for him laning slower. And Yitz Weiss agrees that he's going to pay me $100 and I sell him my property. What Yitz Weiss doesn't know before I sold him the property is that I owe Moshe Palmer money. If I owe Moshe Palmer money and I give property to Yitz, so what that does is that creates a lien on that property. So Yitz can enjoy my property, but if Moshe comes to collect and I have to default on this loan, he is permitted to go ahead and collect the property, collect the assets from Yitz. So here's the problem. If the date on the shtar reflects when this actual halva took place, then everything is kosher. Everything is beautiful, right? Because Moshe knows anything I sold before that date is not subject to collection, right? If I sold it to Yitz before the loan, he has no right to go to people I sold things to a long time ago. And anything after the date is subject to collection. But what if the loan itself takes place on August 1st, but the shtar says that the loan took place earlier than August 1st? Well, now he has a document that says I owed him money July 1st, when really I only owed him money on August 1st, and he can go to Yitz and say to Yitz, hey, I'm here to collect on the property that Glasser sold to you during the time that you really owed the money to me. But he's collecting Shelo Kedin. He's collecting Shelo Kedin because he doesn't really have a lien on that property because the loan happened later than is indicated in the shtar. A shtar mukdam is possible for that reason because it could result in an inappropriate seizing of assets of somebody else because the shtar inaccurately portrays when the hischaibus begins. That's a shtar mukdam. What if we post-date the shtar? What if Moshe says to me, you know what, we're going to make the loan in August, but I agree, we'll put it in September. So that's kosher. Why is that kosher? Because as long as Moshe agrees to that, all he's doing is hurting himself. He's obviously mochel on it because he's just narrowing the time frame within which he can collect from Lekuchos because he has no proof that this loan took place in August. His proof is only that it took place in September, so he can't collect from Yitz the whole month that I sold it in August. So Shtar Me'uchar is considered Ksheirim. Shtar Me'uchar is considered Ksheirim. So why is it so important to know the year of the king? So Rashi explains, it's a little confusing, but it's totally understandable, like most things, right? Rashi explains that in the following scenario, it would be essential to know when exactly we count the years of kings. So follow with me. Rashi's example is using the months of Kislev and Tammuz, right? So we know the Jewish calendar, it's a cycle. Tishrei Cheshvan Kislev Teve Shvar Adar, Nisan Iyar Sivan, Tammuz Av Elul, right? So let's say we have a scenario. Again, Moshe lends money to Yaakov, and he's going to lend me $100. And we have two amazing kosher Eidim, right? We have David Baumzer, and we have Avrami Groh. And they're going to be the Eidim on this loan. And it turns out that the shtar is going to have the date of Kislev, right? The date of Kislev. But the Eidim are unaware that the actual loan took place in Kislev. They're aware that the loan took place in Tammuz. And everybody agrees that it is in the third year of the Melech's reign, right? So we have a date of a shtar in Kislev, Hanukkah time. We have the actual loan that we know for sure we can prove took place not till the summertime, till Tammuz. And we know that we're in the same year. We know that we're in the third year of this Melech's reign. So the question is Kislev before Tammuz, or is it after Tammuz? What do I mean? Since we all agree we're in the third year of the king's reign, when does that reign move years? If it moves years after Kislev, let's say it moves years in the beginning of Nisan, so then Kislev, if in order for Tammuz and Kislev to be in the same year, that means that the loan took place in Tammuz, the Tammuz before, in the third year, and the document is dated Kislev, and that means it's a shtar me'uchar. It is a post-dated document. Because in the summer of 2016, we did this loan. In Kislev, in Hanukkah of 2016, we have a document. That document is post-dated. If Moshe wants to agree to a document that's post-dated, that's perfectly acceptable. Because all he's doing is undermining his own capacity to collect on all the property that I sold between summer 2016 of Tammuz 2016 and Kislev, the end of that year, because his shtar doesn't begin until Kislev. So that would make it a shtar me'uchar. But if the transition in Malchus didn't take place after Kislev, it took place before Kislev, right? And after Tammuz, let's say on Rosh Hashanah, then in order for us to have a common year where it's within the third year of the king's reign, that means that you're dealing with Tammuz coming. No, sorry, that was our case before, right? If the transition in Malchus positions not Tammuz before Kislev, but Tammuz after Kislev. So now the loan took place in the third year of his rulership in Tammuz, but the shtar is dated much earlier in Kislev, but it's all within the third year. And as a result, we have a shtar muktam. And that shtar muktam is pasul. And Beis Din is not going to know what to do. When they bring his shtar before Rabbi Weissman's Beis Din, he's going to look at this and he's going to say, I don't know, this might be a shtar muktam, this might be a shtar mu'uchar. I don't know what it is. Because we don't know when this Malchus transitioned. We don't have that record. But once we attribute a specific date to transition always happens in Nisan. So what does that mean? That means that Tammuz is always before Kislev. And that means that this shtar, our story, where it was the loan was made in Tammuz, but the shtar has the date of Kislev, is a shtar me'uchar. If it's a shtar me'uchar, it's a perfectly valid shtar. You just cannot go ahead and collect on the assets of Yitz during that period of time because you have no proof that that's when you don't have no dated proof. So that's what the Gemara means. L'may ilchasa amar Rav Chisda l'shtaros. Because since a shtar mukdam is pasul, and since a shtar me'uchar is kosher, you have to know at what point the calendar transitions from one year to the next to know whether or not the months, because when you're just dealing with 2 months, and you're dealing with the common year, since relative to each other, they could be before or after that year, you have to know what the story is. So Tanu Rabbanan, the Rabbanan learned, Melech she'amad be'esrim v'tisha be'adar. So this means that a Melech that is appointed in the 29th day of Adar, Kevan she'igia Echad b'Nisan, as soon as we arrive in Echad b'Nisan, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, it's the very next day, Also lo shana. That Melech has already been king for a year, right? In other words, you're only there for 1 year. You've already been king for a year. V'im lo amad, and if you did not, Ela be'echad b'Nisan, if he did not become king until the first day of Nisan, ein monin lo shana, we don't count for him a year, ad shi'agia Nisan acher, until we arrive at the next year, which means you could have a king that's only king for a day, and already the next day, he's in his second year of his reign. You could have a king that's king for 360 days, and he's still in his first year. Amar mar, melech she'amad be'esrim v'tisha be'adar, kevin shegi'a echad b'nisan, also lo shana. That we said that a melech, that comes up, that is appointed. And the 29th day of Adar, when we reach the first day of Nisan, that's considered a shana, ha'klamash melon, says the Gemara Ding. De Nisan Rosh Hashanah leMelachim. So that statement of the Braisa teaches us two things. One thing we happen to already know from our Mishnah, but it's reiterated in the Braisa, that Nisan is obviously Rosh Hashanah leMelachim. That's the only way this makes sense. That 1 day of rulership results in a whole year in the accounting. The Yom Echad Bishana Chashiv Shana. The other thing that we discover is that you can have a halachic principle where only 1 day of the year is literally considered kimat an entire year.
Does that apply also for Orlos?
And that would apply for Orla. Correct. So, but that's the chiddush here is that applies even for a melech, right? Orla is nature. So, you know, God makes the rules when things start and end. Here we're dealing with rulership. So it's kind of surprising that we're going to attribute an entire year of rulership to a guy who's been in the job for one day. It's like, it's Kilu, your second year. His second year. You've been here for one day. So I'm here for a year. I'm here as soon as that's it. Mikzas shana kakulo. That's what it sounds like. And then the Braisa went on to say that if he only is appointed in Echad ben Nisan, then he's not considered a king for a year until we reach the next Nisan. Says the Gemara of Pshita. That's not a chiddush. That's obvious. You want to tell me the fact that you're only king for a day means you're king for a year. That's a chiddush. It sounds like a, right? That sounds already like something innovative. To tell me that if you're king for a year, you're king for a year. You know, only rabbis think that that's innovative, right? That's, what's the chiddush? So pshita, lo tzricha, says the Gemara. No, we're dealing with a very specific situation. The imnu alea me'adar. The appointment was in Adar. And then he is king-elect for Adar, and then he becomes the inauguration, right, with Rabbi Hayer and all the Chevra, right? That happens on Echad B'Nisan. So the Shaila is now, Ma'u Detema Nimnulu Tar Tin Shnin, I might think that that gives him 2 years, the year that he was king-elect. That's already considered year one because the transition team's in motion and he's already insulting everybody. Then the next year, right, that's already year number two. So says the Gemara, Kamash Malon, that Nisan is the cutoff and you are only king when you are king, right? And that the status of appointment before you actually take on the rulership does not constitute a year of kingship. And we need that to be absolutely clear because governments and monarchies have transitions and we need to know for the precision of these shtaros when precisely we are assuming that the year of the king is a new year. In other words, we already know that Nisan is the cutoff, but it doesn't help if people in LA think that Nisan's the cutoff for year two and people in New York think Nisan's the cutoff for year one. Because these guys think, since he, after all, he was appointed, and these guys are a little more laid back. It's like, he was appointed, he didn't do anything, right? So they're a little, that doesn't work. So obviously we need a brisa to tell us, no, that what nimnu is not enough to constitute an entire year. Tana Rabbanan, the Rabbanan learned, meis be'adar. What if the king dies in Adar? Ve'amad achar tachtov be'adar. And another comes and replaces him in Adar. Monim shana lezeh v'lezeh. So when you're dealing with shtaros, you can count that remaining year, for both of them. In other words, you can write on your shtaros, Moshe Palmer's lending Yaakov Glesser money in the 40th year of the king, Olav Shalom, if that's his last year. Or you could write, since we have a new king, that Moshe Palmer's lending Yaakov Glesser money in the first year of, you know, the new king, you know, Admei of Esr. So, Meis B'Nisan, if he dies in Nisan, V'amar Tachtov B'Nisan, Monim Shalom Zeluzet. Same thing if he dies in Nisan. You could count that beginning of the new year for the old one or for the new one. Meis B'Adar V'amar Tachtov B'Nisan, let's say one of them dies in Adar, and the new one's appointed in Nisan, Monim Rishon L'Rishon, the first year you count the first year. V'Shniyah, and that second year is only attributable to the second one. Amar Mar, Meis B'Adar V'amar Tachtov B'Adar, if he dies in Adar and they appoint a new person in Adar, Monim Shana Lezeh Lezeh, you could count it for both. Pshita. So that should be Pashit, right? They each had a Chelek in the year. So why wouldn't you be able to count them for both? Ma'u Detema, I might have thought. Shasali Beit Shrei Lo Meninon. No. We cannot attribute a year of kingship in Shtaros to two different kings. So obviously, the king who died would win out, because he's already had 6 months of being on everybody's Shtaros, even though he's dead. Long live the king on the Shtaros. And therefore, he'll finish up the year. And then you start attributing on the next year to the next king. Kamash Malon, that they could share the year. Meis B'Nisan, V'amaracha Tachto B'Nisan, Modin Shal Ezelezeh, so isn't that Poshet? That it's the same din. Ma'u Detema, I might have thought. Ki amrinun yom echad b'shana, chashuv shana. The fact that one day of the year could be considered like a whole year, b'sof shana. That's only talking about at the end of a year, right? At the end of a year. For example, like in the halachos of Shiva and Shloshim, right? We have the concept of miktsas yom kukulo, right? We don't say miktsas yom kukulo every day. We say it at the end, right? That even though you're only a short portion of the day, that's considered like the whole day. It's a way to finish it up. It's a way to, right? Same thing in Hilchas Nida. It's not practical today, but in the Doraisa dinim of Hilchas Nida, right? When you're not treating every Nida like a Zava Gedola, and the original din of Nida, where you're counting days of Yemei Re'iyah, days of actual sighting of Dam. So the last day is considered the day. Right? So says the Gemara, Shana aval betchilas shana lo amrinum. But maybe in the beginning of the year, we have the whole year ahead of you. So, you know, maybe then one day, you were in the year for one day, in the new year for one day. The haschola doesn't have the same power to create something out of nothing. So therefore, maybe not. Kamash malon, then no, that it works betchilas shana also. Meis va'adar va'omar achatachtov benisan. So what's the chiddush of this din? One dies in Adar, and the other one comes up in Nisan. Monim Rishon Alarisha, Mishnei Alisheni, that you count the first one for the first, and the second one for the second, right? What's the chiddush of that? Shnei Alisheni. So the Gemara says, Pshita, lo tzricha, no, you need this case. The imnu alea me Adar, he was appointed in Adar. Well, we already know that din. We know that if you're appointed, but you don't take over, we don't count you yet. Says the Gemara, no, this is Melech ben Melechu. This is a case of succession where it's in the family. So the Gemara says, maybe if he was appointed, and he's the Melech ben Melech, meaning we're giving it to the prince, right? We're being Mamale, the new king, the dynasty. So they're already, you know, who are you kidding? Of course this is the king. So now it's not just that you appointed him. It's that he's been groomed for this his whole life. He's been developed for this his whole life. Everybody knows this is what's happening. You could count both. Kamash Malan, then no, even if you're a Ben Melech Lamelech, and even if you were appointed earlier, it can't count for this one for that one and this one for that one. Amar Rav Yochanan, Minayin Lamelechim Shemorin Lamelech Minisan. Says Rav Yochanan, what's the source that you don't count the kings? You count the kings from Nisan. Shenemar, it says in the Pasuk, Vayihi Bishmonim Shana V'arba Me'oz Shana Latzeis B'nei Yisrael Me'eretz Mitzrayim. It was, this is Shlomo HaMelech talking when they created the Beis HaMikdash, that it was b'shmonim shana v'arba me'el shana, 480 years after the leaving of Klal Yisrael from Eretz Mitzrayim, b'shana ha-revius, in the fourth year of what? Of his kingship, b'chodesh Ziv, in the month of Ziv, Rashi says, who Iyar, this is the chodesh of Iyar, says the, who achodesh asheni, that's the second month, right? So Chodesh Ziv is the second month. What's the first month? Nisan. Limloch Shlomo al Yisrael. That Shlomo was ruling over Klal Yisrael. Makish Malchus Shlomo liYetzias Mitzrayim. We compare the Malchus of Shlomo to Yetzias Mitzrayim. Ma Yetzias Mitzrayim in Nisan, just like we count the days of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the years from Yetzias Mitzrayim from Nisan. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, right? Af Malchus Shlomo min Nisan. We count Malchus Shlomo from Nisan. Yetzias Mitzrayim gufa minolon de minisan baninyon. Okay, I understand that it happened in Nisan. Who says that we count our liberation from Nisan? Maybe our liberation happened in the middle of the year, and that's beautiful, and it was very important. It was very wonderful, and we celebrate it by eating nothing. But now we're moving forward, and we calculate those months from Tishrei. The Gemara says, "Lo so kadaitoch." That's not possible. Dichsiv, because it says just a couple of weeks ago, "Vayal Aaron Hakohen el Har Ahar." That we brought up Aaron Hakohen to Har Ahar al Pi Hashem on account of the commandment of Hashem. "Vayom Hasham and Aaron dies." The Shnas Harboim Latzeis Bnei Yisrael Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Aaron dies in the 40th year that Klal Yisrael leaving Mitzrayim. Bechodesh hachamishi, in the fifth month, be'echad lechodesh, in the first of the month. V'ksiv, what's the fifth month? Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, Av. Rosh Chodesh Av, that's the death of Aaron. V'ksiv, and it also says, Vayehi barboim shana, on that, in that 40th year, ba'ashtei eser chodesh, on the 12th month, be'echad l'chodesh, on the first of the month, diber Moshe, that Moshe speaks. That means it's the following Shvat, right? Because one happened after the other. So if Aaron dies in Av, and Moshe gives a speech in Shvat, and we're still in the 40th year, that means that we're not counting Tishrei as the new year. Mm-hmm. Because Tishrei, you're going to have to pass Tishrei in order to get to the next Shvat. It must mean that Av is when Aaron dies. Then the next Shvat, Moshe gives this big speech. And then the following Nisan, that's going to be the 41st year. So the Gemara says, Midikoy ba'av, v'koy le shanas arboim. The fact that we, in Av, we're calling it the 40th year. V'koy b'shvat, v'koy le shanas arboim. And we're in Shvat, and we're still in the 40th year. Michlal de Rosh Hashanah lav Tishrei hu. That means the Rosh Hashanah can't be in Tishrei. So it must be in Nisan. It must be in Nisan. Bishlama heich mifarish delitzias mitzrayim. So then the Gemara says, hold on. I understand that the counting for Aaron's death, is from Yetzias Mitzrayim because it says it explicitly, right? Barboim lotzeis b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim. That itself is an interesting, that the death of Aaron is marked from Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's explicit in the pasuk. Elahai, but that next pasuk that's giving us the date of Moshe's big speech, Diber Moshe, it doesn't say anything about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Mimadil Yetzias Mitzrayim. So where else would it be counting from? Dilmala Komas HaMishkon. Maybe it was counting from HaKomas HaMishkon. Other things happened that were very significant. So maybe the Torah is telling us, no, in the 40th year from Yetzias Mitzrayim in Av, that's when Aaron died, Rosh Chodesh Av. Then Tishrei came, and now it's the 41st year from Yetzias Mitzrayim. However, it's the 41st year from Yetzias Mitzrayim, but the Mishkan was only built a year into their experience in the desert. So it's the 40th year from that Kamas HaMishkan. So you could have Rosh Hashanah in Tishrei, and then you could still say that Moshe's in the 40th year, even though we're hitting the following Shvat. And then that Nisan will be the 41st year from Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the following Tishrei will be the 42nd year from HaKamas HaMishkan. So it could work. K'da'amar HaPapa, he says, no, we have a tradition for HaPapa. Shnas Esrim L'Gzei Rishava, that we compare when the Torah uses a designation of Esrim and Esrim. Hocha Nami Shnas Arboim L'Gzei Rishava. We make a Gzei Rishava. Makan Yetzias Mitzrayim, Afkan L'Yetzias Mitzrayim. Even though, right, Rav Papa, Kulu Shnas Shiva Pasuk Tzrichei Lilmod Zeh Mizeh, Kulu Gomer Lehu, Rashi says, Rav Papa Mirav Lilmod Sasum Min HaMafurash HaDeitin Gzer Shava, that since both say Arboim Shana, therefore we compare them, and that comparison brings us to Yetzias Mitzrayim. That itself is very interesting, how Gzer Shavas exactly function, right? Because here it's in other words, sometimes where you have a word that's sort of an anomaly or out of place, and you want to say, hey, look, the Torah used this word here and the Torah used that word there, let's make a Gzeres Shavah and say they're the same thing. So that's compelling. But when we're making, this is a Mechudesh Dik Gzeres Shavah, because here the Gzeres Shavah is being made with the word that is itself ambiguous. In other words, well, it says 40 here, and that means that, and it says 40 there, so that must also mean that. What do you mean that must also mean that? How else, in other words, the whole presumption of Gzeres Shavah is, you could have articulated this differently, but you chose to articulate it this way, and therefore, that unique formulation will lead us to this limud. Here, how else would you have articulated? You're trying to say, let's say you didn't want to make this Gzeres Shavah, and you're really saying that, Kamas HaMishkan. So I guess the assumption is that you would have had to explicate that it's from the time of HaKamas HaMishkan, that it would not make sense that the Torah, in its chronicle of when things happened throughout the journey of the desert, would be using two different systems of counting the years without attributing them explicitly. And since the Torah did not attribute them explicitly, it must mean what it means one by here must mean, you know, what it means over there. Okay, so we'll stop here. Very good.
It's amazing that they didn't have history books. In other words, you would think that nowadays, you know, we have this concept of a history book.